Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you on board as we face the issues. We invite you to call in with your dialogue and discussion. That telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphones, so that we can entertain your question, your comment, your dialogue and discussion on the issue of the day. Today, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about standards for electing political leaders, standards for electing political leaders. I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but in the Bible, in Exodus chapter 18, verses 21, we find an exact standard that God sets forth for us to make a determination on electing leaders. The scripture says, "Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers over thousands, rulers over hundreds, rulers over fifties, and rulers over tens." And I'll talk about that during the course of this broadcast. We're going to be interviewing the only conservative candidate for the Group 3 at-large city council seat. The election is tomorrow, December the 7th, tomorrow. Don't forget it. The early election is already over. The final election, as I call it, the real election, will take place tomorrow. And we're going to be talking with that candidate today in just a moment as we talk about the election and the need to place people in office that would be approved of God. Those that would be viewed as biblicists, those that would be viewed as godly men, those that would be looked at as meeting the standard of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. So let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the scripture. I call it the truth book. Jesus said in John 8:31 and 32 to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Then in John 14:6, the Lord Jesus himself said, "I am truth." And further in John 17:17, the Lord Jesus makes a declaratory statement about the word of God where he says, "Thy word is truth." Ladies and gentlemen, it's the truth of the word of God that ought to be the directive, the modus operandi, as I call it, of our lives. It should be the light under our pathway, the light on, lamp under our feet. As we go each and every day, we need to go by, what does the word of God say? Doesn't make any difference what some denominational dogma says or some political ideological bent might say, but what does the word of God say? That's the first, foremost, and final authority that we have. It's the truth book, as I like to call it. But ladies and gentlemen, I go back to George Orwell, the secularist of 1947, 48, and 49 in the writing of that dystopian novel called 1984. George Orwell, and I'm not setting him up as a spiritual person. He was a secularist. But George Orwell made a statement, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more we'll hate those who speak it." And that's what we see taking place in society today. That's what we see in the political circles. That's what we see in AOC and the other three. That's what we see taking place with Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and those in the Beltway in Washington. I don't think they would understand the word truth if it were spelled out to them and put on their plate for dinner. They would not understand how to eat it, if you will. It is truth that is the missing element in society. It's the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that made a statement that I'll never forget. Senator DeMint said, as he warns America's decline linked to the death of truth. Let me just read you a little one-paragraph blurb of the philosophy that Senator DeMint had as he was in office serving we the people. He says, "Truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity in our nation." And ladies and gentlemen, I think he hit the nail right on the head. I think he was spot on with his statement in relationship to that, because we have found the decay of truth in the political circles, but we also see the decay of truth in spiritual religious circles, denominational circles. This is the reason I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus made a powerful statement, ladies and gentlemen. Jan Hus said, Christians, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. And I believe we're living in the era that very soon, on a global basis, not just here in America, but on a global basis, we're going to find that if we stand for truth, we'll be absolutely demeaned, dissed, and discarded as anything that would be worthy. We're finding that nationally and internationally today, ladies and gentlemen, because of the COVID scheme and the COVID guise that we're going to protect your health. But in doing so, the totalitarians are simply taking control of nations around the globe. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about professional power backup equipment and about professional lawn care equipment, as well as the homeowner brand lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. It's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a benchmark, 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory flowing 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole. In the base of that flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in a very serious condition and position internationally, globally, and right here in America. We're finding with the political regime that's in power today, the Biden cabal and those that are surrounding him, I have used the term many, many times on this broadcast, that most of those in the Biden cabal today are simply the scabs, the leftovers from the Barack Hussein Obama administration. I believe it's Barack Obama behind the scenes that's pulling the strings, that's making the puppet Biden say and do what he's doing. I believe we're witnessing the third term of Barack Hussein Obama out of the Oval Office with the puppet Joe Biden at the helm. And I believe everything that's being said and done is to undermine, tear down, and destroy anything that's called truth, and also to destroy anything that's called morals and ethics and values. We're watching the totalitarian regime crushing the constitutional republic called the United States of America. And in Psalms 11:3, it says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Ladies and gentlemen, it's time that we, the people, understand the very need, the urgent need to place men in office that's going to please God, that's not there for self or selfishness, but it's going to please God in what they say and do in the leadership of our city, the leadership of our state, the leadership of our nation, and across the nation in the United States of America. Today, ladies and gentlemen, right across the, from the global perspective, we're watching today, right here in America, as well as an international scene where the political class are trying to control we the people, we the citizens. Let me just give you a little blurb, ladies and gentlemen. Austria, Australia, Germany, most of Europe, and most of America today are attempting to make the slave subjects out of the people. Forced lockdowns, mask mandates, forced COVID vaccinations. Today, ladies and gentlemen, becoming the norm and not the exception. Just look at what's happening in Australia today with the COVID camps. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, did you realize, do you know, do you understand, you won't get it on the Communist Network News, but do you know that in Australia, they have COVID camps. The largest one will house about 2,000 people, and they're picking people up if they've not been vaccinated or if they've come close to someone that tested positive for COVID. They're then handcuffed, arrested, placed in a COVID takeaway van, and hauled off against their will without any warrant, without any court proceedings, hauled off against their will and placed in the concentration COVID camps. And I find that egregious to anything that's called a constitutional republic for America, but we're on the fast track for going in that direction today. Ladies and gentlemen, may I say to us, we have those in the state of California, Oregon, Washington State, New York, and Michigan. We have those today that are not free to go out, to go into a restaurant, to go buy, sell, or trade. We're on the fast track, ladies and gentlemen, for the full accomplishment and the full bringing to the full fruition what is found in Revelation chapter 13, verses 1 through 18. When the Antichrist, the man of sin, the lawless one, steps on the scene, and you cannot buy, sell, or trade, you cannot open your own business without the absolute mark, the identifier that says, I'm in compliance with what the totalitarian regime says. Now, you need to understand, if you're not familiar with it, that it is the rapture that's on the next thing on the calendar of God. And if you're saved, if you know Jesus Christ as Savior, we will not be here. But it's on the fast track for the globe. And listen very carefully. I believe it is a absolute demonic delusion that's taking place internationally. It's an impossibility to see those things happening today in America and in every other nation around the globe simultaneously, except for the fact that it's a demonic delusion. It is the great delusion that 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7 through 9 talks about. It's the falling away of the church that we see taking place as a result of the almost a year and a half lockdowns of our churches. And we're watching the disintegration of our churches and the foundation of the United States of America. And it's because we have put leaders in place, political leaders in place, that have an itinerary, a goal, a position that is unknown, unrecognized, and as a result of that, destroying our constitutional republic. Mitch McConnell is not a conservative, ladies and gentlemen. Mitch McConnell is a globalist. He's a one world order person. Several of our presidents have been globalists, and we have those today that are in office that are puppets for the globalists, George Soros and others, that's wanting to tear down and destroy what we're doing as a constitutional republic. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at an article that says the CDC funded study, COVID shots have no effect on virus transmission, but yet they're attempting to force everybody to take the jab. And the jab is more harmful to your health than to go and the potentiality of contracting COVID. Ladies and gentlemen, do you realize we've had several different statisticians and numerologists, those that have kept up with the numbers, have told us upward of about 73,000 in America have died from the COVID vaccination, and over 1 million today that had the COVID shot are now suffering all kinds of physical maladies as a result of it. And yet we have an administration that's on the fast track to try to force every human being in our nation and those globalist leaders to try to force every human being to receive the jab, as it is called. I want us to understand, ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that's taking place is the using the COVID pathogen. And it's a real pathogen. It's a deadly pathogen. No question about that. Not denying that at all. But it's a deadly pathogen. But they're using that COVID pathogen, which was man-made, started with the research on it with Sir Anthony Uzair Fauci in 1999. And they've got about 83 different patents on the different makeups of that pathogen. It's called the COVID-19 because it was the 19th iteration of COVID research, and they own the patents not only on the research but on most of that which is being disseminated today under the guise of a vaccine. The COVID jab, the COVID shot, is not a vaccine, but they're using that to control the globe and to control Americans. I want you to understand, I'm not going to bow or bend. I'm going to take the Daniel approach with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They said, we're not going to bow. Then they refused to bend. But ladies and gentlemen, as a result of that, they didn't burn when they were thrown in the fiery furnace. So I take that same position today, not telling you what to do medically speaking, but I am instructing you, telling you what I do and my position on it based on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. I believe it's time, ladies and gentlemen, that we stick to the standards that the word of God gives us for placing people in office. I believe that we need to follow God's standard. God's given us a standard. We need to follow that. We're going to talk about that further in this broadcast. But ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, tomorrow is an important day in the city of Jacksonville. Tomorrow is election day. Tomorrow is the day that we make the determination on one of those that will serve us as city council individuals in our city. I want us to realize there are four people running in that slot for Group 3 at large. Tommy Azuri, formerly was in that seat. Tommy Azuri was a ranked lost liberal, but that's my opinion. You might disagree with that. That's your prerogative. But I believe that we have an opportunity now to place a conservative councilman in that slot. And I believe that tomorrow is the opportunity for each one under the sound of my voice. And I want to remind you before we introduce our guest today, that telephone number is 831-0917. 831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphones, so that we can entertain your question, your comment, dialogue, and discussion. We're going to be interviewing in just a moment the only, and I'm repeating that, and I want to emphasize that, the only conservative in the race tomorrow. Only conservative. We've got two Republicans running, and two ranked liberals running, and one of the Republicans that's running is simply a do-boy for what I call those that are in charge of our city, those power brokers in our city. He is simply following their rules and regulations. I don't consider him, and I've had the privilege of doing the research on all of our candidates that's running tomorrow, and I don't consider him, i.e. the one that is the other Republican, don't consider him to be a conservative at all. But I have with us today in our studio, ladies and gentlemen, one that I believe is the only conservative running, one that is named Howdy Russell. Howdy Russell. Howdy gets that name, by the way, and he'll talk with us about it in a moment, out of his Texas roots. And, Howdy, y'all, that's the Texas Southern aspect of it. But Howdy's with us today, and I'm thankful that he's with us on Let's Face the Issue. Howdy, welcome to Let's Face the Issue's broadcast today. Looking forward to what God is going to do in and through your candidacy and your ultimate election as you serve we the people in our city. Thank you for being here.
Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Howdy, let me ask you to just simply ramble for a moment before we get into the nuts and bolts of your candidacy and what this election is really about that we'll vote on tomorrow. You are familiar with the Biden administration. You're familiar with all the shenanigans, as I call it, that's been taking place. Tell me your opinion, just kind of in a erratic but yet clear statement. What is your opinion about what's happening in America? Do you think that we're on the right track? Do you think it's on the wrong track? Is Biden doing the right thing? Are we looking at it in the right direction where you've got to have lockdowns, you've got to have forced masks, you've got to have forced jabs or vaccinations? Just tell our listeners some of your thoughts and your opinions on that. That'll give our listeners a good idea of who you are.
Well, I really am a constitutionalist, and I don't see anywhere in there where the Constitution says that the federal government or even the state constitution says that the state government can shut down businesses on the if of 14 days to flatten the curve?
15 days, yeah.
Yeah, to flatten the curve. And I couldn't believe it was going to happen. I own three businesses in Jacksonville, and I couldn't believe that was going to happen. And then as it was obvious it was going to happen, I figured I could do my part, especially if it was only 15 days. But we went from 15 days to flatten the curve to where we are today, which is you can't even get sick and you can't even threaten to get sick, which is this world. We're going to get sick. So what's going on with the mandates and the different requirements, especially being heavy handed down from the federal government, The potential of the state government, but I think that our state government has been doing an exemplary job across the United States, the best of all of them so far.
Oh, I think so, too, with our governor.
Right. I think that citywide, I think that they're kind of laying low, but I think that there's no leadership there, whether it's the mayor's office or whether it's the city council. We're without true leadership to say this is where we need to be going.
I agree.
I don't think they're getting in the way necessarily, but I don't think they're leading the city out of the problems that we've had. The COVID situation has resulted where a lot of our public has COVID depression, mm-hmm. just with everything that's been forced on them, and then the economic mood, and then compounded by the Biden administration. We have some severe COVID depression that manifests itself in employees and their effectiveness or ineffectiveness, as well as customers' mood to buy, customers' mood to be social in social environments. And that directly impacts restaurants, but all retail and all businesses in Jacksonville. So, although back early last spring, I did get vaccinated. My wife and I talked about it. We wanted to set an example for her elderly mother who we thought needed to be vaccinated. And so we wanted to set that example. But at the point of shot, my wife said, I'm not going to do it. And I said, I understand. And she said, are you still going to do it? And I said, I am. And she said, really? Those people that are telling you to do it are the same ones that are telling you to wear a mask. And you know that's hogwash. And I said, no, I know. And I'm not doing it because they told me to. I'm just doing it to get off the X. And my wife said, well, what if you die? And I said, well, then I get to see the Lord a little sooner than I had planned. And I get to be a science experiment for you. But I got to tell you, I have not contracted COVID. I had a robust immune system to begin with. So I don't know if the uh, vaccination made an impact. It may have, but I am absolutely, positively, it's your choice about what you want to do as far as vaccinations go. You do your homework, you get recommendations from your doctor, and then you make your own decision. But at the same time, my confidence that I had 6 months ago that maybe it could do some good for me is gone. It's shot.
Absolutely. I'm glad you made that statement, Howdy, because I've had the opportunity. I probably read research between 2,000 and 2,500 articles on that subject. And you couldn't force me to take the jab based on the content of the material that's in it, what it does with right now in America alone, over 1 million people having suffered major medical maladies and about 73,000 deaths as a result of the jab. I'm reading articles every day where that has killed more people in America than it has helped. And yet at the same time, as you made the statement, I am thankful for that. It was a choice you made. And I think it should be a choice and not something that's forced. Going back to our political leaders in our city, you know, it was the mayor that had about 6 months of every 30 days, renewing the mask mandate. And finally, there was a suit filed against the mayor and the city in relationship to the mask mandate. And it was kicked out of court because of our general counsel's office said that it the one that filed the suit didn't have standing. And so as a result of that, it was kicked out. But I feel that we are in better shape now because I'm sure that you're aware of that. We have a salve legislation that was passed. It's on the books now as law, that any future governor or mayors cannot pass a mandate of anything by executive orders for more than 30 days, and it's over. They've got to have legislation. We're a nation of laws, and we go by the rule of law, and the rule of law is not found where you find a mandate based on the executive order. I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go over with the question or comment, please.
Dr. Youngblood, Mr. Russell, how are you today?
Good morning. Delighted to have you with us.
Thank you. Actually, you were just covering something that I was going to ask Mr. Russell about as far as Lenny Curry and the mandate there. I believe that he allowed fear to rule his heart, and the city council did as well. I would like to know from you, Mr. Russell, if this starts coming back up again, how do you feel about natural immunity? And would that factor in your decisions for trying to sway other members of the council to oppose these types of mandates?
That's a great question, Jim. I really appreciate that. Although I've been in the restaurant business all my life, I spent 20 years of business with a restoration company where I became an expert witness for personal protective equipment and things like that. And so, and I was also an expert on different scientific type subjects, like how to dry a structure and how to save New Orleans, those kind of things back with Katrina. And so I take a scientific approach. And one of the things that is brand new with this so-called vaccination, and just like Dr. Youngblood said, it's not the vaccination that we've seen. It's not like anything we've ever done before. But it's mRNA, and it may be effective. It may be effective in different ways, but we don't have any type of a scientific profile over any amount of time or variety of circumstances to see how it actually impacts maybe the individual, but certainly the group, and absolutely the culture and the country and the world. We don't have any of that kind of information. So to give these mandates out there saying everybody's got to have it is scientifically not intelligent. And it certainly isn't. I mean, they're going to capture data, I suppose, if their motivations are genuine versus motivations of some other kind of dastardly approach. So going into it on the city council level, I'll be the advocate that says, no, we need more scientific information, and we don't have it. We don't have, I mean, obviously, we don't have a 5-year study. We also, from all the impressions that we've gotten since the original version of COVID, we've had different levels of degradation of the impact of the virus itself. Although D really was very contagious and affected a ton of people, it seemed to have a different effect on your ability to survive the disease. So as that as coronavirus continues to progress, we need more scientific information as opposed to political whim or impression or opinion.
Well, you're right, scientific information, but not Fauci information.
Right.
Jim,
That was a partial answer, sir. I would like to follow up, please.
All right.
Basically, what I was talking about was natural immunity there. And like you said, we've had multiple variants there. We've gone from the original coronavirus to Delta to now the Z virus or Omicron or whatever you want to call it there. I call it supposedly what they call the Delta variant. I am pretty sure with the way I struggled through it there that my immune system is immune to it now. And every documentation that I've read, natural immunity is better than any vaccine out here. And that's what I was asking how your stance would be for natural immunity.
Gotcha. Okay. For me, almost a very easy answer. Natural immunity, everything I have seen, and I'm a homeschool dad, so I check on this stuff, and every single thing I've seen has said that natural immunity is by far better than any of the combinations of vaccinations or boosters or anything else. It's by far stronger than that. So
yes,
I'm absolutely an advocate for that. Even now I'm definitely reticent about the testing because I don't trust it. I don't trust the results of it. And so
the PCR, neither do I, sir. I tested for the antibody after I recovered.
Gotcha.
Well, Jim, one of the questions I'd like to ask you that you might ask Howdy, what, in your opinion, is the most important one thing that needs to be accomplished in the city of Jacksonville via the city council? What's the most serious level that needs to be corrected or input into our council that will be beneficial to Jacksonville?
Oh, my. There are several things. The landing with the Sleeman brothers from the past, the LERP sign, the Duval County school system needs to be addressed. They basically have taken it upon themselves to rub their nose at state law. Those are three big things I could think of right now.
Well, Jim, let's ask Audi about the LERP, L-E-R-P or D-E-R-P or J-A-X. What does it say? 151-foot stainless steel statue in the middle of what was the landing. And by the way, for the listeners' edification, we had the Sleeman brothers in there. They had a lease that the city was supposed to provide a parking garage. They never did, so they canceled the lease. The city paid about $15 million to release them from the lease. Then they went in and spent about $5 million to clean it out and destroy the landing facilities. And now they're talking about spending $24 million of taxpayers' money for that giant statue and putting in a downtown park. Howdy, what's your opinion on that? What is your stand on it? Got about a minute and a half before our break.
Gotcha. I have a business right there in downtown, right off of 20 West Adams Street. And the green space is significantly more desirable than an empty orange building. The LERP statue confounds me a little bit. I think that, once again, we're paying a lot of attention, trying to be artistic when we might not have the most efficient use of funds to make that happen. I think we could do a lot of other things. I love the idea of bringing a battleship downtown and parking it down there to be able to have people to do sightseeing and that kind of thing. When I see big money being spent on things like a LERP sign and that, or statue, or whatever you want to call that sculpture, not to ridicule it, but I'm an average guy, so to spend that kind of money on that, I don't think that's advisable. But I would certainly listen to the constituency, and if enough of Jacksonville wants it, I guess it'll happen. But I think that enough of Jacksonville needs to be heard because we don't want it.
Yes, absolutely.
No.
Jim, thank you so much for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about a one-minute break at the top of the hour for the news. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back as we continue our conversation with Howdy Russell, the only conservative in the council race to be voted on tomorrow. Hang in there. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.